Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Theater Asylum, the first town hall of the Fringe. Hello, my name's Matthew Quinn. I'm owner-operator of Theater Asylum in the Lab and now newly acquired the Elephant Space right next door. Want to welcome you to the spaces, let you know a few quick house rules. There are workshops and classes going on throughout the building, so you can hit the bathrooms by going down this hallway all the way down, but just be quiet in the hallways. Men's and women's are both over there. You can also go outside around the building and get it to the side. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to show any spaces today until maybe after the mixer if people do want to kind of see the additional spaces. But I want to let you know quickly, I had a wonderful meeting today with the complex. Where's Matt Chade and Monica here? With Monica and Victoria Watson from the lounge. You guys are right next there. I just see you right there. We are talking about working more this year to kind of help you guys out. One of the things we're doing in terms of this phase, if you guys seen spaces, is Wednesday, June 30th and February 6th. Otherwise, did I say June?
Yeah.
I'm already there. January 30th and February 6th, from 5:30 to 6:30, all three of our spaces and possibly other spaces will be open. If you want to come by, check out three spaces, boom, boom, boom. And then meet everybody for a drink afterwards over at 3 o'clock. We're going to later today. So something that we're trying to work out to help you guys out. Also, immediately following the town hall, all the spaces will be here on stage, and you feel free to come up and ask questions. I've got cards. My secret today is just to get cards to everybody who wants one, so you can then go and register online. Thank you guys for the spaces for coming and helping with all that. We're very excited about that. Also want to quickly let you know that this year I'm also running Best of Fringe. I'll grab my card for information about that, and we'll be including more venues this year, so definitely start early, get thinking about that. Some cool Fringe stuff that's happening here from years past. From 2 years ago, How to Survive a Zombie Apocalypse, which won Best International Show, is still running now. It's in a three-month run here at the Asylum. This Saturday, I've got VIP people coming, and I'm offering comps to anybody in this room. Anybody grabs my card, sends me an email. Come check out a Fringe show that was wonderful, an hour long, and a winner of Best International. And then also opening this weekend, I Am Google, who has been a Fringe participant for 2 years. He is back again at the Asylum. This weekend he's opening, and again for Fringe people, email me via my magic card, and I'll get you comp tickets for any show this weekend. So I have done it all. I've made a longer speech than my best of speech. Sorry about that. But a lot of stuff going on. So without any further ado, I'd love to introduce the sexiest bearded man right now in the room.
What?
Mr. Oh, did I blow that one? Good to see you.
You're going
to
say my name?
Ben Hill!
A long speech and he forgot my name. Thank you to Mr. Matthew Quinn and all the staff of the Theater Asylum. My name is Ben Hill and I will be your cruise director for the next 6 months of your life. So it's nice to see you all. I see a lot of people back from previous Fringes, last year, 2010, 2011. I see some new faces. This is a good time, and we're happy to have you here. This is a great community, it's great energy, it's fantastic, and we're going to have a good time. All right. So today, the Hollywood Fringe Festival is a pretty large subject. So today, I'm not going to talk, and we're not going to talk about everything having to do with producing a successful Hollywood Fringe Festival show. Instead, we are going to limit it to talking basically about getting started, which is a good thing to talk about right now, I suppose, planning, getting a leap on the things to come, and a little bit about budgeting, all the things you should be worried about, or concerned about, or working on right now. We will also be live tweeting. See, this is Rachel. We'll be live tweeting on the HFF13 hashtag. So if you feel like it, you could follow that, but that's be a little dumb because you're in the room. Sure. No, I know.
Underline.
Okay. After this, we're going to have a Q&A, and that stands for questions and answers, for those of you who didn't know. Until then, however, please hold your questions. You're going to have them to say something. It's not going to make any sense because they're going to be talking gibberish, and you're going to have a burning question to want to know what the hell I was talking about. So please, like, write it down in some form of analog or digital form and ask the question after I'm done, and I'll be happy to clarify my gibberish. After this event, we're having a mixer at the Three Clubs. It's very easy to find and hard to find at the same time. It's right across the road in the corner of Santa Monica and Vine. There's a sign that says cocktails, and in there they have cocktails where we will be drinking and talking about the fringe and all that sort of stuff. Make sure, on your way out, to get a wristband, because we do have a drink special. And I'm sure that drink special is very good, I just don't know what it is.
That's very good.
Oh, right. There it is.
And there is a sign outside that says welcome.
Aww, that's nice. How warm. The Three Clubs, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so I'm going to try. I got to go through. I'm going to try to get it all done in an hour or less. your veterans are laughing at me now, but I'm going to talk fast to get this done in an hour to make it sound even more like gibberish, and after that we're going to start your Q&A. We have a hard stop at 9, because at that point we need to go over to Three Clubs. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce the Fringe staff. It stands right now. We got Miss Rachel Stoll Armstrong, our social media manager. Miss Alexa Hanrahan Hill, she's our participant director. She answers your support cases. You write support, and she answers you back. Miss Stacy Jones Hill, the communications director. Miss Elizabeth Cobb, our audience director. She runs the box office. Mr. Kamatu, nobody applaud. Mr. Kamatu is our development director. He'll be here in a little bit. Miss Megan McCauley, our outreach director. Mr. Dave McKeever, our producing director, he'll be here in a little bit. Miss Elizabeth Steele, our volunteer director. She's there. Okay. Miss Abby Wagner, our food and beverage director, she's the one that gets you drunk. And Mr. Jeff Warden, our front of house manager. There he is! Isn't he handsome? Excellent. All right, so let's back up for a moment, shall we? I have a pink pen, by the way, so I'll be making marks in this pink pen. Thank you, Liz. Let's back up and talk a little history. What is a fringe festival? Let's start with a little town in Scotland that I like to call Edinburgh, and so do most of the people who live there. Back in 1947, for those of you in history, there was a war recently before that, and they were looking for a little something to heal from, an arts event to heal the wounds of Europe. This was not the Hollywood Fringe Festival. This was not the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. This was an event called the Edinburgh International Festival, which was a curated, a word that we will all come to know very well very soon, a curated festival where you had to be invited to join. Now, obviously, a lot of people felt, well, that is wrong. I don't feel like being invited to join. I would like to just show up. So a lot of people did just that. About a dozen British shows, mostly theater, showed up and did a show around the, here's the buzzword, fringes of the festival. Thus the term fringe festival. Usually, in its original meaning, it was the fringes of the Edinburgh International Festival. And in the beginning, it was nothing. They didn't call it the Edinburgh International Festival, largest arts event on the planet. They just called it a bunch of guys basically, you know, showing up and doing a show. Over time, the actual size of the fringes of the festival began to eclipse the festival itself. And today, I think it officially is the largest arts event in the world, and it's a wonderful, amazing experience. It happens all August, every August in Edinburgh, Scotland. Anybody been? Wow, awesome. All right, and it's a really amazing, amazing experience. My wife and I, many years ago, went and we were like, whoa, this place is freaking great. We should try to do this back at home. So the idea of fringe festivals started to be exported, first in Britain and Australia, on the continent, Canada, and the United States. Fringe festivals sprouting up everywhere, each almost entirely different from the last one. Everyone has different rules, it's different models. There's no international fringe corporation that runs all of them. They're all individually, independently run festivals, and they're all independently run in different ways. Now, fast forward to 2010. We were all 3 years younger, and we're having a good time. So 2010 was our inaugural festival, and it was a very humble affair with about 130 shows. We immediately became one of the largest festivals in the United States, certainly one of the largest fringe festivals in the United States. We're unique in our model, in a sense, for the United States, in the fact that we're so influenced by the Edinburgh style, which is very much what has been called a free market style, in the sense that there are three major players. There are the venues, there's the participants, and then there's the fringe festival organization, and there's a whole complicated constitutional checks and balances system between them all. We do not run the venues, except for one, and I'll talk about that in a second. All the venues are independently run by independent operators. They have to live and die by the free market, just like every other venue in the world, the way it works. There's the participants, so I think there are a lot of you in the crowd today who endeavor to put on a work of brilliance for the Hollywood and Fringe Festival. And then there's the Central Organizing Committee, which is the people that I just announced right now, and these are the people that do the promotion of the festival, they protect the brand, and obviously they help all you good people have the most successful June you can possibly have. And by June, I actually, this year, mean all of June. We'll get to that in a second, too. So 2010 was our opening, and 2011 is called the year of the Fringe Tent, for those that were there. We were at Artworks at a big, giant tent, large, medium-sized tent in the middle in the middle of the venues, and it was great. It was warm. It felt like we really had something going. Fast forward just a year this time to last year. We had Fringe Central Station, which is this lovely building over here, sort of a temple of fringedom, you might say. We introduced a bunch of new... we're on the second page already, guys. We saw major growth in ticket sales. We added new programs like Fringe TV, which we'll talk about in a bit, and Student Fringe, which we'll talk about in a bit. And now it comes to this year, the year 2013, the year of the dragon. Is it the year of the
snake?
Snake. The year of the snake. That doesn't bode well.
It does.
Snake is good.
It's really good.
Snake is good.
Look it up.
There you go. Okay. Where we added a week to
the
festival. We all know about the snake. Ask her about the snake. Okay, anyway. We added a week to the festival this year. So there was a big piece of news. It was adding a week to the festival. So this year, we have 1 week of previews and 2.5-ish weeks of the festival, making a solid month of fringing. So all sorts of opportunities for brilliance and adventure and excitement. And comatose behavior. All right. So let's talk for a moment about... You will get used to my strange sense of humor over time, I swear. Let's talk about what the Fringe is and what the Fringe is not. What is the Fringe, you might ask? I heard some people out there ask. Let's just pretend you did. The Fringe is a performing arts festival. Now, we branded this a little different this year. We sort of took a solid look of what it has been and what it is. And initially, we said emerging arts festival. We said arts festival. We've been sort of non-specific about the whole thing. But we sort of like, you know what? Most of these people are on stage and live, and you know, they're there. So this year, we're saying officially, the Hollywood Fringe Festival is a performing arts festival. And this does not include just theater. This includes cabaret and magic and dance and clowns running around and squirting people with laser guns, and that sort of stuff. It's a performing arts festival. If it's done on a stage, if it's done with real people, then that's what we do. The Fringe is an open access festival. Open access, otherwise known as uncurated. These are synonymous things. Basically means that anyone can join. We have like 4 rules, and most of them are based on geography. If you find a venue within the Fringe geography, you can fringe, and that's the beginning and the end of it. It's open access. There's no censorship. There's no curation. There's no person with a gray beard like Bob Leggett on a throne somewhere else saying you can get in and you cannot. He looks a bit like God, a little bit, I suppose. We don't have that. We don't have curators. Anyone who wants to join, anyone has an idea. Our philosophy is, who's to say that your idea is any better than that idea, that your art is any better than that art, and that's what we live and die by. Mostly die, but sometimes live. We are community-centered. Part of what we're trying to do here isn't just for a bunch of individuals to come and do a show and then end the show and then go off into the quiet night or the loud night. It's about developing that community. It's about developing the friendships and the connections and making the time very, very special. Some people consider it like camp a little bit. But it's more than that. It's much more professional than camp. But that feeling of seeing your friends year after year and being able to talk to them and socialize them and then create with them and try new and interesting things, that's what we're all about. And that's the gentle, friendly, supportive community that we're talking about here. It is an opportunity to experiment, to try experimental work and ideas. It's been called a freedom to fail environment, a place where you can take big risks. And a lot of, when you're doing a major run show, and God knows that we've all done those, or some of us have done those, where you're doing a 3-month show and you're dropping like, you know, 5, 6, 7 figures on the production budget of a show, then you are very much limited in the risks you can take because, oh God, what if you lose all that money? The Fringe, we try to keep costs as low as we possibly can, given that we're in one of the most expensive few blocks in the world. We try to keep the costs as low as we possibly can so that people can take as many risks as they want. So if you have an idea, feel free to keep pushing the envelope. And I think you will find from the people who come to the Fringe year after year that that's what they expect in a way. They expect people to push the envelope. And you will be rewarded the more you push the envelope. And of course you can push the envelope right into a colossal failure. But like that's one of the things that's great about it. You can try. You can push that level. I mean, when we're trying for success, we're always sort of like lingering on the precipice of failure, and that's just the way art is, right? This is an opportunity for you to try something totally new, totally experimental, and totally wonderful. Alternatively, for some of you, it's an opportunity to refine existing work. So if you want to try new things on an existing work, if you're a touring artist, or if you have a show that you've been carrying around for months, years, decades, what have you, this is a time to sort of refine it, try it with a new audience, see what works before you want to launch into a long, expensive, extended run, say. And it is an opportunity to build audiences. And it's not just your audiences, it's everyone's audiences. It is the performing arts audience in the city of Los Angeles and those that visit here to see shows. Because the prices, not only the prices of production, but also the prices of admission are generally low. People can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. When we go to Edinburgh Fringe, we have been known to see 6 shows in a single day. One after the other, after the other, after the other. Piece of cake. And I see people like Greg Crafts here and Bob Leggett who do that. And what they will tell you right now is that make sure that your running time is accurate. Or they will get up and leave because they have another show to go to. So seriously, be very careful of your start time and your running time. This is just advice. Much more advice will come later on this. But that's something to be wary of. For people that do see the show serially, that they have a show in the next 15 minutes they need to get to across the road, make sure your running times are correct because they base their schedules around that. Let's talk about what the Fringe isn't. And it isn't a lot, if that makes any sense. It isn't curated, and we talked about that. No God up on high looking down choosing who gets in and out. It isn't, and this might seem funny to some of you, but some people have made this mistake. It isn't a place to send your play to and ask for us to produce it. You laugh, but it happens. Like, our P.O. box has got scripts, and we're like, what the hell are we supposed to do with this? So obviously, you need to bring something in the form of a finished or at least half-finished work to the Fringe. We're not going to just produce it for you. Unfortunately, that's not the way it works. And finally, and I think that those of you who aren't jerks will appreciate this, it is not a place for jerks. and that is a rule, actually, of our Fringe Central facility. You may not be a jerk at any time, or you will get kicked out. And people have gotten kicked out for being jerks. And this is to protect the 99% of us who are not jerks. So, yes, please don't be a jerk. Because then I get angry, and you won't like me when I'm angry. All right, Well, before I turn green, let's talk for a moment about important dates. All right. So important dates. These are very important dates because that's the adjective. February 1st. Oh, that's coming up, isn't it? February 1st is when registration begins. That doesn't mean you don't have to, you need to wait till then to look for a venue. You can start looking for a venue now. And we'll talk about the 3 steps of Fringe that I talk about every year. This is my 3-step speech. But just so you know, February 1st is your shooting bell, is when you can go on the site and register for the Fringe Festival and become an official Fringe show for the class of 2013. February 2nd, possibly the most important day of the year, is our Fringe benefit. And we'll be talking a lot about that, and we'll give you a hint of the lifetime of party and fun and community that is to come. And that is February 2nd, and it's right across the road. And I'll mention a little bit more about that at the end of this little spiel. April 1st. Okay, so that's 2 months from February 1st. All of February, all of March, April 1st is your registration deadline. If you want to make the printed guide, and that's this lovely printed guide we distribute, and it's beautiful, and people call it the Bible of the Fringe and whatnot, or the Book of the Fringe if you're not with the whole religious thing. You need to have your show registered, so you need to have found a venue, you need to register your show by April 1st to make the guide. Guess when most people register? Don't be that guy. Do it earlier. Don't just keep us on our toes, because it's really very stressful for me. It's like the heaviest support day of the year is April 1st. Everyone's like, oh, come on. It's like, think about registering early. It's just something, just do it for me. Okay, April 15th. 15 days later is the deadline for guide ads. With your registration, you do not get a picture in the guide. If you want a picture, you can buy an ad. We do our best to put the picture, the guide ads on the same page as your registered listing. They're special, super, incredibly cheap printed prices for you participants that are almost half of what they are for the rest of the world. And we actually pride ourselves in the fact that our guide is much more full of artist ads and show ads than it is, say, toilet paper ads. And I have seen a toilet paper ad in a Fringe program. That's a lie. I really haven't. I don't know. I was going to keep that up for a while. May 1st! May 1st, big day, because tickets go on sale on May 1st. And that's when it all happens. That's when we flip the switch on the website, through the phone, and all the other ways that we sell tickets for you guys. That's when the starting bell goes off, the starting gun, the pick your own words happens. Okay, so June begins then. And on June 6th through June 11th, are the Fringe previews. And we'll talk a lot about previews, maybe not today so much, but just know that that is a time to prime your audience, to get people to come in, friends, family, you invite the press, try to get people to write reviews and papers and on the site, so that when the big day and the festival officially opens, you have sort of created a buzz amongst the Fringe regulars, and you have some reviews chalked up to your project, which is always good. It's good free press. June 12th. June 12th is the opening night party, the biggest event of the year in Los Angeles. It's amazing, fun, crazy-ass time. The energy is nuts. Everyone has been rehearsing, and everyone's nerves are up. They're ready for the big day. It is a fun, great time. There are no shows on that day, because we will not let you work on the opening party day. You must just relax and have a good time on that day. So this is key. This is key. You're going to thank me for telling this later. Don't book venue dates on June 12th. They will probably give you a slot, but just so you know, it will not show up in the guide or on the website. There are no dates that we promote on the 12th. So unless you just want to show on the 12th, by all means go, but it won't be promoted through the Fringe, and that's something that you should know. Okay, the Fringe Festival itself, right, sure, this thing, is June 13th through June 30th. I told you it was all of June. June 13th through June 30th. That's, 17 days of fun and madness, or 18 if you're into that whole math thing. And June 30th is the awards and closing night party, and that is the last thing. That is the sad farewell, and also the time where we announce who the nominees and who the winners are. And we will talk about awards later. Everyone's like, ask him how I get an award. We will talk about that later. It's an audience, it's a community voted thing, and there's information on the website. There will be plenty of time to talk about the awards. It's everyone's favorite Q&A subject. Okay, now begins the stock three-step process speech. Being a part of the Fringe is a three-step process. The first step, and you can do this right now if you really want to, is you can go to hollywoodfringe.org. Don't do it right now. You can go to hollywoodfringe.org/add_project or follow any of the create a project links from the homepage, of which there are a couple. At that point, we'll ask you some very basic questions. Some of your answers can be placeholders. You can change them at any time, right up until the guide closes down, and whatever in there on April 1st is going in. But anyway, we'll get to that for the time being. Suffice it to say, if you don't know things like the description of your show, the title of your show, and trust me, this happens. I get a lot of, like, please roll the show that will be awesome type titles. That's fine. That's perfectly fine. We ask you for the basic questions, not even getting to pricing yet. It's very basic questions on what your show is, what it's called, what the description is, etc. You can add tags to your show. Tags are another way where to help people find your show. If people really want sexy shows, which I think is the number one, sexy I think might be the number one tag, or like funny shows or stuff like that. Obviously funny is more generic, but like people are looking for adjectives, and this is how they find you, through adjectives. Yes, finding shows through grammar. Right, okay. You're also going to be asked to post pictures and videos if you have them. Again, you can always go back and post pictures and videos later. It's going to ask you to, it's a place where you can post press releases. So after you create your show, if you want to get a jump and post a press release, you can do that. We'll be talking a little bit more about press releases later. Just know there's a functionality within the site that lets you post those things. And yes, the press do read them. It's also a place for you to collect reviews in the future. This is your online project. People go, they collect reviews, people write reviews, good reviews, bad reviews, negative reviews, positive reviews, average reviews, etc. What your project is fundamentally, it is your online hub for the marketing of your show and the place where you will sell tickets. So when you give people a link as to where you will sell tickets, you give them a link to your project, and we've conveniently made shortened URLs. There are hff13.org/your project number, and that is your shortened Twitter-friendly 140-character-loving URL. Fantastic. Oh, jeez, the big man.
I'm the big man.
What's up, buddy?
How you doing?
As I said, nothing is locked in Chernobyl first, so feel free to be able to change things around. In your project as well, it'll ask you what's your, how many characters? 300, I think? 300 characters is for your guide entry. So you have your 300 characters for your guide entry, and then you have your basically infinite amount of characters for your website. Not infinite, but you know what I mean, for your website entry. So when people go to that page, that's what they see. That's step one, create a project. Step one of the three-step process. Step two is finding a venue. Probably the number one thing people ask about is, how do I find a venue? I need to find a venue? Oh, God, I need to go find a venue. I need to hit the pavement and find the whole thing. We've helped you a little bit. On the website, at the top, I think it says Browse Venues. You can see all the venues that have currently registered with the Hollywood Fringe Festival. And for those of you who have venues and have not yet done so, it is absolutely free to register on the Hollywood Fringe Festival so long. Well, it's always free. But your venue needs to be within the geographic boundaries of the Fringe Festival. Why on earth do you have geographic boundaries? Why are you enforcing all these rules on us? I've got this amazing Glendale theater space that I want to use. And it's probably the most single, most controversial, and possibly the best decision we ever made as an organization, because it creates a sense of place, and that is the answer. We are in approximately 1 square mile in Hollywood, which means that you can walk to your next show. You can walk everywhere. Stephen Lee Morris, the famed journalist of the LA Weekly and the chief theater critic there, he is famous for biking around the Fringe Festival, and that's what he does. You know, he'll bike, he'll go ding, 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 ding. You're like, oh, busted. Yeah. And absolutely, it's nice to be able to go from place to place to place and walk from place to place. Sense of space, sense of community. If you did a show in Glendale, then you're sure going to be out of it. I mean, you can't come to hang out with your friends afterwards and whatnot. You can't talk about new projects and whatnot. So yes, the boundaries are, what are they, Ben? To the north, Franklin. To the east, Wilton. To the south, Melrose. And to the west, La Brea. These are relatively famous LA streets. They're in every map of LA. So if you have any questions, refer yourself to a map.
Except for the latest Apple Maps.
Yeah, except for the latest Apple Maps. But the Google Maps, no problem. All right, so if you see a venue, you might ask, that is not on that list on the website. See a venue, but I know of a space, any sort of space, within that boundary, then guess what? You can, as we say, bring your own venue. You can BYOV. Again, at no charge. Just let us know. There's actually a whole add venue form on the website. Feel free to have a seat anywhere. There's a place on the website where you can add a whole venue. You can bring your own venue. So if there's some fantastic little, you know, space within those boundaries that you think would be perfect for your show and you can get it a steal, then by all means, you may bring your own venue. And here's another idea. If you rent that space, you can go and be a venue manager. You can rent it to other fringe shows. because other Fringe shows will see your venue on that list. And they'll contact you and say, hey, you got any additional space? I might even pay you rent. You can help fund your show by hosting a venue. Not to say it's not a lot of work for those of you in the crowd that have hosted Fringe venues. It's a lot of work. So be aware of that, but it is a way to offset your production costs. It's something that we encourage for people to find creative spaces and bring them into the Fringe, because it also provides more opportunities for other participants like yourself to Fringe. Can I have multiple venues? The answer is yes. You can have as many venues as you like. Will multiple venues incur an additional registration fee? The answer is no. One project, one registration fee. So you can have 15 venues. We've had people with four. And they do a lot of traveling around, and they might have regretted it afterwards that they got four venues. But if you are, as you say, prime time hunting, because most venues won't give you all their prime time slots in one go, you can look around and find the best time slots in multiple venues. And yes, you can register with multiple venues, and that's perfectly fine. Word on registration. Okay, I'll get to that in a second. Shut up, Beth. We'll get there soon. All right, so on the website, you go to a venue page. A lot of them have little video walkthroughs that you can look through. So you can get a sense without even going what the venue looks like. We did a lot of shooting of venues the first couple years, so they're still up there. You can get a walkthrough of all the spaces. You can see what it's like, if it fits your purpose. There is a link on the top. If you're logged in, make sure you're logged in. Make sure you created your project, which is step one of the three-step process. You may go in and you may apply to that venue online. My God, you don't even have to pick up a phone. What sort of genius is this? You can hit apply online. It'll ask you some basic questions like, how much do you want to charge? How long is your show? Give us a little personal note and whatnot. Which of the multiple spaces within this venue are you interested in? For example, we're in Theater Asylum right now. Theater Asylum has an ever-increasing amount of spaces. I think we're at three now. Three spaces right now. This is one space. This is the Asylum. There's also the lab, and then there is the
Elephant.
Excellent. So that's when you go and you find the difference in venue and spaces, that's it. A venue is one big company that has multiple spaces within it. Some obviously have one space per venue. We're all on the same page. Okay, good. Ask questions after if you don't understand any of this sort of stuff. You've applied to your venue. My God, 3 hours have passed and my venue hasn't gotten back to me. What the hell is going on? And what's right support? Ah, I'm not getting back to me. I'm gonna die. There's no way I'm gonna register by April 1st. Okay, first of all, it's gonna be okay. I promise. I've been through this 3 years. And it all ends up to be okay. Everybody who wants to find a space finds a space, no matter what. It might take a little work, it might be a little stressful, but isn't real estate always stressful? For those of you who've ever rented or bought a home, it's a little stressful to find a space. Some of them will get back to you right away. Some of them might give you prices and say, like, oh, God, that's too expensive. And some of you might get prices and say, oh, my God, what a steal. Shop around, find what you like. Most of the venues that have done this a lot of years knows what the economy is. They know what prices makes participants angry and what prices makes them go, holy crap, and what prices are, like, just right. So shop around, find what you like. A lot of venues offer things that are, you know, that are better or worse for your particular show. Things to consider. Price. Is it within your budget? Stay within your budget. Seriously. We're going to talk about this later, but stay within your budget or you will regret it and you'll be mad at me and you shouldn't be because you'll remember right now that I told you to stay within your budget. capacity. Capacity is money, right? The more seats I have, if I have a 500 seat, you better not be equity, but you have a 500 seat space, the 500 seat space, I'm going to make, oh my God, I'm going to charge $10 a ticket, I'm going to make $5,000 a show, it's going to be incredible, I'm going to be rich, oh Jesus. Okay, you realize the fault in this. Also be very aware of how many people that you think you'll pull in, and be conservative. Be conservative about that. You know, it's much better to have too little space and sell out and create crazy buzz such you need to extend because so many people want to see your show than to be in a 99-seat house and have 20 people in there and it feels a little empty. And also to way overpay for your venue. So consider who your audiences will be, who you think they will be, and then make your decision. You can be a little risky in a sense of saying, okay, well, I think this is my show so good that I'm going to attract a little more. But that is a risk. Know that that is a risk. So be aware of capacity. Location. Location, location, location. Like there's wonderful venues all over Hollywood within that one square mile area. Obviously, if you look on a map, just because we happen to be on a road called Theater Row, or it's called Santa Monica Boulevard to some people, to us, it's called Theater Row, that probably the venues around Theater Row will be the most crowded, and you will get the most walk-in traffic from that perspective. You might also find that the further away you go from Theater Row, the cheaper the venues get. You might find them. I don't can't say for sure, but you might look and you might find them. So just be aware of location. Yes, and Theater Row usually has a, there's no real central area, but it's sort of a central area. Okay, there's a central area. And it's basically around Theater Row. So be aware of that. Be aware of that. I already said stay within your budget. Fantastic. Good stuff. I like to go around the room. I know we have some venues in the crowd right now, and they're going to be in the mixer afterwards. I'd like you to raise your hand if you're a venue, please. Can everyone just really briefly stand and say, I'm going to start with here. Don't feel bad. You're going to say what venue you are and what your name is.
Matt Quinn, Theater Asylum, Lab, and Open Space.
All right, that is the shortest thing I've heard come out of
this. Yes. Bro.
Oh, sure, go ahead.
Okay. I'm at the Met Theater, although we're a little east of Walton, so I don't know.
We'll talk.
David Spigelli, this is Ali White. We're representing Three Clubs.
Three Clubs, where we'll be afterwards for the mixer. Hey, who else? Yes?
Victoria Watson, The Lounge.
I didn't even know that.
Ooh. It's new.
It's new news.
Yeah, bravo. Yeah.
Yes?
Monica Martin, The Complex.
Excellent. Who else we got? Yes?
Stephanie Curry, Studio Theater, on the corner of Melrose and Larchmont.
Oh, wow.
Which is gorgeous space.
Well, it's great to have you. It's great to have you. Yes?
I'm Mark Gonzalez, the Studio C artist. We're right down the street between Wilcox and Cole on set.
First year or last year?
Yes.
Yes, yes. I saw you. Anyone else, venues? We're good? All right.
Oh,
there's one more. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, Paul.
Yeah, I'm Paul Gleason. It used to be the Paul Gleason Theater, but you will all find out very soon why it's going to be now called the Cupcake Theater.
Oh, that's a good name.
Because we're opening a cupcake shop.
Oh, there we go. That's fantastic. And that is on Hollywood Boulevard and basically Tourist Central. And there's something to be said for getting a space in Hollywood Boulevard because you have all the tourists walking by here. Guess what? There's not a lot of tourists walking down the theater. What?
Will that be run by the two broke girls?
Also, just for the venues, too, if you want to contact me, I'd love to get cards and information. We had this kind of first meeting, but I'd love to talk to all of you.
And all
and
the
you're welcome to stay afterwards, too.
Absolutely. All the venues, all you guys should definitely be the mixer, so you saw them, you recognize them, and they'll be the mixer. Additionally, he's not here yet, but our compatriot and French staffer, Dave McKeever, tall, mostly bald, he will be there as well. The Fringe main stage, which is the Fringe Run venue, is at the Open Fist Theater again. So that's the thing. Open Fist, lovely theater right down there. 99 seat, you might have heard of it. He will be at the mixer as well. So if you need to be directed towards David Heaver for the Open Fist, just let me know and I'll point him out for you. Fantastic. So, how are we doing in time?
7:47.
Okay. I'm going to talk even faster. All right. So, 3 steps. We're on step 3, ladies and gentlemen. Step 1 was create your project. Step 2 was find your venue. Step 3 was register your project. And this is the last step of your 3-step journey to registration. So you've booked a venue. It needs to be booked on the site, ladies and gentlemen, on the site. And there's a booking process, and directions are on there. Your venue will help you along. If you're a venue you don't know, just ask, and we'll tell you how it all works. You need to have a booking on the site. Once that's done, you're cleared to take off. You're cleared to register. You might ask, Ben, what does this registration business give me? Why should I give a damn about registering for the Fringe? I'll tell you what, because it's awesome. And also, for these long list of reasons, here's some of the benefits you get for registering in the Fringe. And these are benefits of the past few years. Benefits are growing all the time as we find new opportunities to help promote you. A, you get a listing in the Printed Guide. You might have heard me talk about the Printed Guide. Beautiful little pamphlet with ads and listings in it and the whole thing. Freaks on the cover. It's beautiful. We print thousands and thousands of these, and they go all around. You get a listing in that guide. You get listed on the Fringe website during the peak of the Fringe season last year, over the course of the Fringe season last year, I should say. It got about 500,000 plus hits. It grows by hundreds of thousands every year, so we expect it to be significantly higher this year. So lots and lots of traffic goes there. Lots of people go there to see what they want to see. Ticket sales. We sell tickets for you. Not all your tickets necessarily, and we'll get to that later, but some of your tickets at least are sold through the web, through the phone, through the walk-up, and new avenues of sale that will be announced soon. You will also get discounted flyer distribution. What a drag it is to go all around town and drop your flyer. We work with a guy who gets special discounts, 2 Fringe participants. One might even say they're inexpensive. to take your flyers and to bring them to other places and to drop them off. All the places you think that they would go, that's where they go. Discounted photography for those of you that want to capture your experience and your costumes and your people and the costumes. That we have discounted photographers that will come and take all the pictures that you need and give them to you. Also, cheap, because I guess that's what discounted means. You get discounted ads on the Fringe Sighting Guide. We talked a little about that. There are online ads to very expensive participants and guide ads, very inexpensive to participants, and add a little color and life to your guide listing. You get the ability to be a part of our LA Weekly ad buy. We buy big full pages of ads in the LA Weekly. You might have heard of the LA Weekly. It is our largest weekly newspaper. And then we basically sublet that space. So we get a big discount from LA Weekly, like half price off of our full page ad buys. And then we pass it on to you, saying you get like this much space, put a picture there, and we're basically subletting that space for you at a deeply discounted price. And you get listed in like, you know, the LA Weekly, which is, you know, a big deal. We give you discount ads on Bitter Lemons. Does everyone know what Bitter Lemons is? Bitter-lemons.com. It's something you will get to know. You know Rotten Tomatoes?
Yes.
It's like the Rotten Tomatoes for theater, for LA theater specifically right now. And they have editorials, and then they do you know, algorithms that say it's sweet, bittersweet, or sour. In any case, you get discounted ads on the Bitter Lemons. And they also are a major source of sort of a third-party review site for fringe shows. You get discounted programs. Everyone knows about Footlights. It's like the Playbill of Los Angeles, run by our friend Peter Finlayson. He will give you discounted programs. If you should put discounted programs for your fringe experience. Discounted notices and say Backstage and LA Weekly. 33% off listings and Discover Hollywood, Hollywood's favorite tourist magazine. You get participant support. Talking so fast, my mouth is frothing. Participant support. Getting rabid. Participant support. Everyone know this. Be aware of this email. support@hollywoodfringe.org. I'm sure we'll hear from all of you at least 6 times. We endeavor to get back to you within 24 hours during the week. So if you write support@hollywoodfringe.org and no question is too dumb, well, some I suppose are, but that's okay. Ask them anyway about how to do your fringe thing, what you need to do. I'm having trouble finding a venue. Please, God, help me. support@hollywoodfringe.org. We're there to help. We endeavor to get back to you within 24 hours of the last weekday. So we don't work on Saturdays and Sundays. But so if you get us a Friday night, we're going to try to get you to you Monday. We try as hard as we can. All two of us who answer your emails. And trust me, we get a lot. The last count was like, I think we get like 3,000 support requests a year. So we do our absolute positive best to get back to you as quickly as possible. Support, support, support. Right, Fringe TV. It's run by Stacey Jones Hill right here. Fringe TV is something that's grown over time. It's basically a place where we interview participants who want to be interviewed. And we put them on magnificent sites like YouTube, where people watch them. And they can learn more about you, and they're plugged on the website and the whole thing. And we're looking for new and interesting ways to distribute Fringe TV this year to get even larger and more varied audiences. You get qualified for awards. We talked about that a little. Yes, well, there are awards. And extensions. And one of the extensions, for example, is Matt Quinn's Best of Fringe extension, which is done right here in the asylum. But there are a lot of Fringe extensions happening all over the place, so you can continue your Fringe experience and your show, continue to develop your audience past the Fringe itself. You get reviews in the press. Yes, you do. You get reviews in the press. It happens. You need to write press releases. And we'll have workshops. We'll have other town halls that are not this one where we talk about writing a good press release. But now is a perfectly great time to write a press release. Bob Leggett would like me to remind you to put the cast members of your show in the press release. And that's all I want to say. Yeah, I was going to say that beforehand. We'll talk to you about finding press, about reaching out to press. In the meantime, there's an article on the Fringe website. If you go to hollywoodfringe.org/learn, you will see a ton of information, more information than I could ever cover this evening, about how to run a Fringe show, and one of those is called Dealing
press
with
awareness.
The press awareness. It's called press awareness. So, dealing with the press.
It says press awareness, but it's insane.
I'm still going on the benefits. I mean, it goes on and on and on. You get participation in a promoted event. A promoted event is this one. We promote the event for you. We do not promote your show. Exactly. We love all children equally, or cousins, or wards, or whatever you want to call it. And we love you all equally. So we promote the festival as a whole. So the festival as a whole is promoted. But if you give us chocolate, we will love you more. What you get, and this is sort of one of those soft things, but in the end, this is the thing that people remember the most about it. You get fun. Do you remember that word, fun? Remember when theater was fun? It is at the Hollywood Fringe Festival. Everyone has a good time. If you contribute, if you deal with the community, if you hang out with everyone else at the central facility and the bar and the whole thing, and you meet people, and you have fun. It's just a good time. Even we have fun. We can't help it. We try not to have fun, but we do anyway. networking. Okay, not as fun, because it involves business cards. Nothing involving business cards is particularly fun, but networking is important for professional development. Here you will find a lot of like-minded performing artists and performing producers and designers and technicians and the whole thing that share your values and are trying to do the same thing and they're fundamentally in the same boat as you. You can look around and say, oh my God, I'm not alone. I'm not this moron trying to do theater in Los Angeles. Like, what's wrong with me? There's actually a lot of us. That's the thing. There's a lot of us. And so we're all developed this community in a support system. And that, in a lot of ways, is what the Fringe is about. And of course, you get opportunity. Opportunities to succeed, opportunity to try really hard and end up failing, but learning a lot. You get these sorts of opportunities. So, and that's really, really, really important. And as I said, that was the last on the list, the soft one. So we add additional promotions all the time. So keep your eye up. We send newsletters to you almost too much to let you know what's going on, what's new, what you can benefit from, some ideas, something that might help you produce a more successful show. A note on international people who are not here right now, so I'll just come a little closer to the microphone for all you international people out there who are listening to this later. Yes, we do absolutely, we are an international festival. So if you are an international person and you want to bring your show to the United States here, you should start working right now because it's a bit of a pain, and it's not a pain, okay, but it's a little more work because you've got oceans and borders and things to cross. So check on the website. There's an article that gives you all the various options if you're an international to come. Not all of them require necessarily a work visa. There's ways to do it. You won't earn a lot of money, but there is a way to get here and not completely lose your shirt and also not spend thousands of dollars on a artist visa, a work visa, which, let's face it, you're probably not going to get. So, international people, please check that out. Without a lawyer, you get a lawyer that maybe will get a visa. It's very, very, very hard. Okay. Great. So that was the three steps. Those are the three steps. And just to remind you, for those who haven't been paying attention, the three steps are... All right, creating a project, finding a venue, and registering your show. How are we doing on time?
7:57.
We got 3 minutes. We're going to finish this 3 pages. No problem. Dealing with money. I want to talk a little bit early. I want you to start thinking early. Artists are right-brain creatures, right? And a lot of them, they'll think on this side, which is where the money exists, and this is where you lose your rent over here on this side. So you should pay attention to this side of your head. So right now, before you even start, do what I do before I start something. It's weird. I start with the money. It's weird. Why don't I start with the art? This is the art. Is this an art thing? Think about starting with the money. Think about what you can spend. Think about what you expect to make. Think about some really basic arithmetic. This is the last time of the year that we'll talk about arithmetic, but it is important at this moment. Okay, let's talk about money. How much does it cost to participate in the Hollywood Fringe Festival? Excellent question. And the range of money it costs fundamentally depends on the choices you've made. It can cost very, very, very little, or it can cost more than a little. It'll never cost a whole hell of a lot unless you want to do this giant, crazy-ass thing, which no one's done yet, but by all means, if, you know...
Rent the Pantages.
Sure, rent the Pantages. Go nuts. There's two registration fees. Let's talk about the registration fee. The registration fee is a part from your venue rental, your production fees, your marketing fees, etc. This is to register with the Fringe and get that very long, exciting list of stuff that I went through. There are two prices, $250 and $175. What is the difference between those two prices, you might ask? For $250... You pay, with $250, you get a show that has multiple performances that you charge money for at the door. A show with multiple performances
that you charge money at the door, the registration price is $250. If you have just one show, otherwise known as a one-off, for example, a workshop, or you just have one show, one performance. When I say show, I mean performance. You have one performance, then it is $175 registration, because why should you pay as much as the people that have 50 shows? So if you have a one-off show, it's $175. If you opt to not charge any money at all for admission, pay what you can does not count. If you decide to charge zero money for admission, then it is also $175, and you can have as many performances as you want. So, to sum up, $250 equals a show where you charge money at the door that has multiple performances. $175 equals just one performance. $175 also equals many performances, no admission price. We're good. Okay, what's the difference between $175 and $250? So that's the registration price. I said it right, right? Okay, good. Venue rental. Yes, you sometimes need to pay rent on venues. Actually, you should expect the need to pay rental on venues. They vary wildly. It's an open market festival. So when you think so some venues that might be brand new, beautiful, sprung venues, latest technology all over the place, that you land a helicopter on stage and stuff, might be more expensive than, say, a closet with a chair. Like, and literally, they vary that wildly with venues. So shop around, know your budget, stick to your budget. as I say, venue rental prices vary by location, by the time of the slot that you're looking for, by the quality of the theater, and by the number of seats in the audience. So be aware of venue rentals in addition to registration. Fundamentally, if you have a venue and you pay a registration fee, you don't need to pay another dime to do your show. You can be done. You can have costumes that you get from your closet. You can have like a box is the chair and a table you got from your mom's kitchen, like, and that can be your show. And trust me, brilliant shows have employed just that much. Some of the most amazing shows I've seen in Fringe, and anyone seen in Fringe, employ just that much production value. And you know what? It's great. It can be awful, too, but it can be absolutely great. It can be fantastic. Because when people go to the Fringe, they're not expecting the Pantages. They're not expecting a helicopter to land on screen and a dinosaur to come and eat the people on stage and wander around with blood dripping from his mouth. They're not expecting that. What they're expecting is a theatrical experience of text, of wonderful text, of wonderful acting, and wonderful directing, and with clever design. Clever and expensive design. That's what people are looking for. But you can spend as much money as you want on production fees, right? I mean, you can have wonderful costumes, you can have fantastic lights that you bring in from the outside, you can go crazy on production fees. Just be aware of your budget. Who knows? You might be like the sky out of a Rockefeller and you have all this money just to burn and you just want to do it to make it great. Fantastic! Go nuts! But if you're not that, be aware of your budget. Always be aware. And finally, the last thing you'll pay is your marketing fees. And marketing fees, again, we live in this wonderful, fantastic world of social media and free media and the whole thing. Sometimes just a great show is all the marketing you need. Sometimes just a great show is all the marketing you need if you can attract the press to see it and if you can attract the right people to see it. Because if you get some of the core Fringe people and you'll find out who they are, by socializing and being a part of the community, you'll find very quickly who the people that people listen to are. Go read Malcolm Gladwell's The Tipping Point, and you'll know what I'm talking about. There's some people who influence other people and cause phenomenon to happen. So if you find out who those people are, get them to come see your show with free tickets or pay them to come see your show, whatever you want to do. Get them to see your show. If you think you have a great show, get the right people to see it, get some press to see it, be savvy, write good press releases. It doesn't cost a dime to write a good press release. It doesn't cost a dime to write great copy marketing your show. You just need to be clever. You need to be creative. You need to find hooks. You need to find ways to pull people in. All this doesn't cost a dime. But then again, there are ways to give the extra advantage. There are ad buys that you can make. You can pay for ads on Facebook. We'll talk about that later. You can pay for sponsored tweets. You can pay for ads in the LA Weekly. And you can pay for ads in the Guide. You can pay for online ads in any number of places. And we do our best to make those prices as low as possible to fit within your budget. But always be aware of your budget. Seriously, it is in our interest that you have a positive experience, not just artistically and socially. It is in our interest that you have a positive financial experience as well. How do I budget, you might ask? All right, it's simple. You don't even need to be a mastermind at Excel or spreadsheets to learn how to budget. You just need to know some basic arithmetic. First of all, there are three ticket types. Three types of tickets, three prices. The first is the regular price. That is the regular price. Then there is the participant price. The participant price is the price you set for fellow participants. So if you want to attract participants, and it's a very good idea, set a slightly or much cheaper price for participants so they have the benefit of seeing your show. Consider it another benefit. Because people who do shows, you should see other people's shows. Seriously, you should see other people's shows. You should have them see you seeing their show. You should go up afterwards and talk to them about their show. And then what you should do, you should say, hey, you should see my show. I'll show me yours and I'll show you mine. That whole business whole thing works. It works. Go see other people's shows. Cross-pollinate. Tell people to go see other people's shows. Be supportive of one another. In no way, shape, or form is this a competition. It's not a competition. Actually, it's just the opposite. What's good for the other guy is also good for me. By bringing my audience in and telling them to go see other shows, that's other people are going to do the same thing. You're going to have this cross-pollination. We call it the fringe effect. It's the cross-pollination of audiences. It's what makes it successful. So see other people's shows. See other people's shows. See other people's shows. Okay. So we have the regular price, the participant price, and then the community price. Every year we have this thing. It's called the button. You'll get very familiar with it because all participants per show get one for free. After that, they're like $3 for participants. $5 for civilians, $3 for participants. This gives you discounts on things like drinks, which is nice. It gives, if you're not a participant, it gives you discounts on shows. It gets you $1 off every show bought through the fringe. So if someone comes in with these things, we strongly recommend you honor this at the door. We do not run your box offices. In some cases, your venues do. In some cases, you do. But what you should do, and I'm going to say this in the next two town halls, honor the button. If someone comes in with a button, that means they are community. They are family. You give them $1 off. And that's why they're coming to see it, because they think, like, I can go and I can see other shows and get $1 off. I'm getting this at a bargain. Looking for sales. So I'm getting a bargain with this. And it also means you're expressing, you're a member of the community. Here, please, come see my show. Because someone with a button more than likely is going to go talk to other people with buttons. And when we go to fringe festivals, here's what I do. I walk around and say, you have a button. What do you see? Like, oh, I saw the Jerky Boys musical, and it is amazing. It's like, that really? That's good? Yeah, go see it. It's great. And it's like, oh, I think I will see it. And then you know what? We do. It's that sort of fringe magic. You meet somebody on the street, you see they have a button, you ask them what they like, and you go see that. It's sort of the way it works. There is going to be 100 and God knows 200 God knows shows at the Hollywood Fringe Festival 2013. People are going to go see a lot of shows. That's the way it works. Honor this button, and people will honor you. That made sense in some dimension. All right, so three prices, regular, participant, and community. The average ticket price for your information. We do not set, it's different from some fringes, we do not set a ticket price for you. There is, you set your own ticket prices, and that's key. You set your own ticket prices. You are the adults in the room. The average ticket price for the past 3 years running is about $12. It's $12 per performance. Charge more than that at your, what am I looking for?
Peril.
At your peril. Charge more than that at your peril. A lot of people charge 20 and they immediately lower it when no one goes to see their show. So unless you are the biggest thing at the Renaissance Festival and you bring all, you people travel 3 counties to see you, and you know you can charge $25 a performance, don't do it. Like, because hover around 12. Think about pay what you can. It's an interesting strategy, and it sometimes works. The site also allows you to set recommended, suggested prices for pay what you can. So you can have pay what you can suggested 0, or pay what you can suggested 12. You will find strange effects with pay what you can that can be counterintuitive. Sometimes there's those people who just give you a 20. You never know. It happens. So consider pay what you can as part of your strategy. Strongly consider it for previews.
strongly. The goal of previews is to get the butts in the seats. It's not to make up all your production costs. The goal of previews is to get the butts in your seats and create the buzz. Strongly, strongly recommend pay what you can or free for previews. Strongly recommend it. Okay, I'm sure we're doing great on time, but I don't mean to ask. Okay, nightly gross. We're really almost there. Nightly gross. What is the mathematical formula for nightly gross? What is this fantastic sixth grade formula for nightly gross? Gross meaning not disgusting. Gross means the total amount of money you make every night. You're gross. Capacity. The number of seats in the house. In this case, it is 81 seats times your ticket price, $10, $810, times your sell-through rate, which is normally a decimal, times 70%. And so to do the math, I'm not going to do it in my head right now. So capacity times ticket price times your sell-through rate, which is what you expect, how you expect to fill the house, times your sell-through rate equals your nightly gross. So 100 seats times $1 tickets with a 70% capacity, with 70% sell-through rate is?
$70.
That's a crappy nightly ticket. You're only charging $1 a ticket. What do you expect? What's the matter with you? Okay, now, take that number, your nightly gross, multiply that by the total number of performances that you expect. Adjust, because if you have a 2 p.m. show on a Tuesday, it's probably not going to sell as well as an 8 p.m. show on a Saturday. Just saying. And so adjust a little bit your sell-through rate for that. And then add whatever donated income that you might get, and that equals total gross. So doing a little algebra, you can start saying, here's my production budget, or my nut. That's what it's called. I'm not making it up. Or your nut, the minimum amount of money you need to make your money back, to break even, as they say. Take that, subtract that by your total gross of all your nights, and you very well might have a gap. And then you're going to be like, oh, crap, I'm going to lose money. No, this is the money that we all live in the world of nonprofit theater. This is the money that we need to raise. So starting now, think about how much money you will need to raise with what I would call a pessimistic sell-through rate. Pick a pessimistic sell-through rate, 40%. I always do 40%. I'm a pessimistic guy. I say only 40 out of 100 seats are going to be filled. Start with that. You'll feel good about yourself. You'll feel like I'm budgeting to be conservative. Anything above that, I'll be happily surprised. And then figure out what the gap is you need to break even, to hit your nut. Figure out what that gap is. That's how much money you need to raise. Start now. We live in this wonderful world of crowdfunding and friends and family that may or may not have money that might be interested in helping you achieve your dreams. You got to say like that. You have to write in poetry. Tell them this is the most amazing thing that I've ever done. This is why I'm doing this in my life. You got to support me. Put it on paper. Send it out to people. Start a Kickstarter, an Indiegogo, or a CauseVox. Start these campaigns. Start them early. Collect that money. Because as I said, no one's interest on the French staff for you to lose money on this. So think pessimistically and play optimistically.
Oh. Twitter.
We've already got a good hashtag going.
Good hashtag
going. Oh, yeah, we got you, man.
Oh, okay. I can't wait. I love going back and reading this. All right. So everyone gets it. If people don't understand this math, that's okay. You're art people. You're thinking over here. But, like, this will be recorded. Go back and listen to the math part again. Because it's important that you think about it this way first. It's important to think about the art. But trust me, for your own happiness and mine, think about your budgets. Think about what you can afford. Think about all the costs that go into it. And think about what you need to raise to cover that cost using a pessimistic sell-through rate of, say, 40%. Awesome. Budgeting. That's all I'm going to say about math. That's the end of math forever. All right. We're very, 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 very close. We're going to do Q&A. To give you an idea about marketing, I'm going to touch on marketing very, very lightly because we're going to have a whole town hall about marketing. This is not that town hall. This is the getting started town hall. But something to think about really early on is engage artists, designers, how you want to think about the picture, the beautiful art for your show. A note about logo placement to be placed in a fringe-run venue. And that includes the central party happening facility as well as the fringe main stage. You must. Let everyone hear me. You must have the Hollywood Fringe logo on your flyer. Why, you self-promoting bastard, would you make me put your damn pixels on my flyer? And I will tell you why. It's because it's the only way that we can distinguish between you and some play playing in Glendale. It is the only way. Or Studio City, or I'm keeping on Glendale. or Orange County. It's the only way. Or that, you know, toilet repair place. We need to know that this is a Hollywood Fringe show. So then we're going through the big, giant mass of flyers that are surrounding us day and night. We know which ones we file and which ones we leave on the table. So remember now, working with your graphic designers or yourselves, you're in Photoshop, you're teaching yourself, you're all beautiful and fantastic for trying, remember put the Hollywood Fringe logo and the URL to get the Hollywood Fringe logo. That needs to be updated because the new dates are on the new one. Dawn's made. Write that down. Okay. HollywoodFringe.org/branding. Pretty sure that that's the URL.
Yeah.
I'm sure it is. HollywoodFringe.org branding, multiple formats in PNG and JPEG and GIF and PDF. It's all there for you. Go crazy. EPS is best, by the way. And that's why it rhymes. EPS is best because you can go up and down, it's vector graphics, it's fun stuff. EPS is best. Your graphic designer will know what the hell I'm talking about. Alright, start thinking about your ad buys. We talked about that online in print. We talked about it a little bit. Start thinking about social networking. It's free, ladies and gentlemen. Social networking. It's not just Facebook and Twitter. There are other ones. There's Pinterest and Tumblr and
Instagram.
There you go, Instagram.
Google Plus. Hello.
Google Plus.
There's like two of us that are waiting for
you. Yeah, all three of us are Google Plus. We'll be waiting for you. All right, so but think about that now and actually start communicating with the crowd now. Start building your followers now, seriously. Because a lot of people, the HFF13 hashtag is something that people follow rather religiously. If you don't know how to use Twitter, grab the guy next to you and say, teach me how to use Twitter, and post on the HFF13 hashtag. It is the feed of fun for everything fringe. Lots of F. Think about HFF13. Last year was HFF12. HFF12 is so last year. It's HFF13. And as soon as some German opera decides to also be host on HFF13, chase them away. Disgrace them. This is not your playground. All right, something else to consider. Think about this. Start a blog. Most of you are developing your shows right now. You're developing shows. What a great medium this blog medium is. It's been around for like years, and you can go and you can tell people about how you are building your show. The show blog, start one, why not? Tell people what's going on with the creation of your show. People actually might care, and they do care. They might actually read this blog and think, I want to see the show and bring all of my friends. Awesome. Network, socialize. Starting now, I know that some folks, we'll talk about this a little later, are hosting at 3 clubs. Every, what day? Monday? Tuesday?
Wednesday!
Every Wednesday, people are meeting there and just talking and hanging out and talking fringe and stuff. Some of us might even show up, you never know, and talk to you as well. Think about that. Start talking to other people in this room. Afterwards, don't just go to the bar and find people that work for the fringe. Find other people, meet people, see what they're doing. Ask them about their lives. It's a crazy thing to do in LA to ask someone else about their lives. But you can do it because they will tell you about it because we live in LA. No idea what I mean by that. Alright, I'm really, really, really close. Press plan. Think about your press. Start communicating with press. Why not? Learn how to write a press release. And then come to future town halls and future mixers because they're a good place to meet people and they're a great place to learn. Alright, a couple more announcements and we're good to go. The first one is, ladies and gentlemen, this year we're doing something new. Last year we had Kickstarter. The year before that we had Kickstarter. Kickstarter is stressful. So this year we're trying something a little new. We're doing something called CauseBox. There's no goal, per se. But what it allows is for you people, and I encourage other people to do CauseBox as well, to start your own fundraising campaigns as a part of it. So you can go and you say, you know what, I like this Hollywood Fringe Festival thing. I want to help them raise money. I can create my own unique page and invite people to do it. Why would I do something so selfless, you might say? Well, I'll tell you why, because there are prizes. For the first, number one, number two, number three fundraisers for the Hollywood Fringe Festival, you will get awards. And these awards actually, they're good awards. The first, and I wrote them down. First place, you go to donate.hollywood.fringe.com. No. Donate.hollywoodfringe.org. There it is. donate.hollywoodfringe.org and create your own fundraising page. And you are the number one fundraiser for the Hollywood Fringe Festival. What do they get? They get a full page ad in the guide, which is worth hundreds and hundreds of dollars. So you get a full page ad in the guide if you're the number one fundraiser for the Hollywood Fringe Festival. And we will get you chocolates. So that's good. Second place is a full half page ad. And the third place is, you guessed it, a full quarter page ad. So you get free ads if you help us raise money. Of course, we very much appreciate it, and to show our appreciation, we do that. Additionally, okay, you might think, God, it sounds so much fun. I can't wait for June. I can't wait for June. I literally can't wait for June. In that case, we are having a party February 2nd. It is a party. It is a bash. It is a magnificent orgy of fun! And it is called the Fringe Benefit. It's an orgy of fun. Hashtag.
We've already got shit Ben Hill says it going.
Saturday, February 2nd. It's even a Saturday. LA's favorite day to party. Doors at 7 p.m. Yes, you can be late. It's okay. If you have theater rehearsal or what have you, you can be late. What is it? Well, we got a vintage carnival thing going on. It's at last year's site, Fringe Central Station, right across the road. You can go back.
It's next door.
Next
it's
door.
Next
the
door. Door. You can go across the alley.
The alley's on the other side.
Across the airspace between. Okay, it's the same wall. Okay, it's right there. So on the other side of this wall, literally, you can go back. We can party like it's 2012 and look forward to 2013. It's cheaper to buy. It's still cheap. It's $20 a ticket if you buy pre-sale. And all of that money, guess where that money goes? Oh my God, let me get this straight. I can go to a party and pay to get in the party and get all this fantastic entertainment and fun and community, and all of that money goes back to me to promote my show? This has got to be the most fantastic thing I've ever gone to. We will have bands, we will have magicians, we will have burlesque dancers, contortionists, aerialists, balloon twisters! And yes, there will be dancing. Yes, there will. There will be the Fringe Bar. We'll be open for the one night before June. It will be open. And there will be a food truck called the Bun Truck. It will be there. There will be, ladies and gentlemen, I can't stress this enough, a silent auction. How original, you say. And what will we have? We'll have headshots, fitness, including pop physique. You might have heard of it. Apparently people have. Class packages to yoga, we'll have jewelry, we'll have bar gift certificates, and we'll have tickets for entertainment around Los Angeles. And yes, it is, I've written here, the most important event to in the world ever. So there we go. So let's see who's going. Come on! Alright, it's gonna be super fun. We're all gonna be there, we're gonna have a blast. Okay! Last thing I'm gonna say. It's the last subject. It's one of those soft things. It's the answer to this question. Why do we do this? Why do we do this every year? Why do we in the French staff do this for virtually no money all year and kill ourselves and lose our voices in the middle of town halls? Why do we do this? Okay, it's to build a community. We've talked about that a little. It's to build a community of activist artists, of people who want to go out and break the barriers and try new things. Activist artists. It's an opportunity to cross-pollinate. We've talked about that a little bit. To build other people's audience as well as ourselves, and to, yes, build a real theater audience in Los Angeles. This unbreakable town of film and industry. How can there be theater here? There can be, and for the efforts of all of us. And it's developed a culture of cooperation, supportiveness, and mutual appreciation. Remember, no jerks. We're all supportive of everyone else's work here because it's only in our benefit. Like, another person's failure, another person's success does not equal our failure. All of our successes are successes for us all. I'm really using my voice now. And everyone in the room is a player in this story. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I will remind you that we do have a mixer after this. Be sure to keep your your wristband after we're done with the QA. Your headband after we're done with QA. Okay. What time is it?
It's 8:24.
Okay, guys, we've got 35 minutes for your questions and answers, and we're going to have more questions and answers at the mixer. I'll look a rule for your rules before your hands go up, and that's the first one. Please raise your hands. Please introduce yourself, and because you need to get used to it, please introduce your show, if you are involved with the show, or your venue, if you're involved with the venue. So that being said, does anybody have any questions? Let's see. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Carmen, and the program I want to submit is called The Hype. But I actually went to your site already, trying to put it up, and it said there was a question about company.
Okay.
And it wouldn't let me get past that. So do I have to be affiliated with a company, or can I put independent? Or
what? You absolutely can. That is not an uncommon question. You can put just your name for the company. You can put no company jerk. You can put whatever you like. Just know whatever you put is going to be put in the guide. So you can just put, like, your name, productions, if you like. It doesn't have to be an official company. So whatever you like to put there. Absolutely. It is a required field because it's something to put in the guide. Yes, Mr. Greg Krebs.
Hey, Ben, did you ever get around to coding in the pay what you want?
Here we go. It's on the list, I swear. It's on the list. He's asking if there you can add a discount code to create the show Pay What You Can. And it is absolutely on the list. Thank you. It is.
You have like a towel as well?
It's hot up there. It's on the list, I promise you. I swear to you. You know what? As soon as I get finished coding it, I am going to... Yes, I am the guy who codes the website as well. And I will send you an email and say, it is done, guess what? And here's the code.
Awesome, thank you, Ben.
You're welcome. Who else? Yes?
Sandra, I'm actually a touring artist with a show called Clooney, Cal, Pick and Me.
Also,
it's a celebrity-themed one-man show. I wanted to clarify what you said about you have to book a venue on the site.
Yes.
Because that conflicts with what one of your venue managers told me, and he says you need to book a venue by bringing me a check. Now, maybe you do things a bit differently in this country. Am I being ripped off?
Okay, let me clarify. So that we know, because everything is done on the website, the registration process is handled on the website, we need to know that you have a venue. So there is a digital shaking of hands, as it were, between your project and the actual venue. It's basically done through a series of like emails back and forth. And you'll see it once it's done. You'll apply to the venue. You'll receive an email saying you have a deal, a pending deal on this venue, after probably talking to them or working through a contract and a check and all of that. And you click a button that says accept deal. And then once you accept that deal, the screen will come up and say register now. So it's like a digital shaking of hands, we might say. And that's what I mean by the deal needs to exist on the site. Yes, they probably will also want a check.
but the check will happen before you're able to accept the offer, probably.
That was my question.
Usually. Okay. It's venue by venue. Some venues, it's up to the venue when they want to collect the check. It's up to your contract when they want to collect the check. Sometimes it's before you register, sometimes it's after. Talk with the venue of your choice, and they'll tell you what their policy is.
Thank you.
Excellent. You're welcome. Yes. Oh, gosh. Well, here's the thing. Theoretically, nothing's keeping you from having multiple performances per day, right? So there's 24 hours in a day, and there's... I mean, really. There's how many days? 17? 18 days?
18
days. So 18 times 24. Assuming your show's an hour.
Every day is a performance.
And that's not including performance. Every day.
Every day is...
Yeah. You can have as many performances as you want.
Except for the 12th.
Except for the 12th.
Which doesn't matter.
Which is a party hit. So yes, as many performances as you like. No restrictions. Yes.
Hi, Alex Katay. The show is Andy Hayworth's Sun's Getting Into Eternity. And you said the 12th is a non-performance date. The 30th is the closing party, so are there performances during the day before that party?
What a good question! Because it actually brings up something you should know. During that night, there are award ceremonies. You might be nominated for an award, or you might just want to go because it's fun. So you may absolutely book in some... Shows have. some shows have booked during the night of the award ceremony. We don't recommend it. But if you look, but you might go and say, well, the venue said, well, I have an 8 p.m. on the 30th. Like, on 8 p.m., fantastic. So you make that sort of trade-off. If you have an 8 p.m. show on the 30th, obviously you're not going to be able to attend the award ceremony. But you may if you want to, and it will be promoted by the French. Yes, Greg again.
I'm Greg, I'm with Theater Unleashed, where there are 25 plays per hour, 25 plays in 60 minutes exactly. And I wanted to know if you're going to bring back participant-sponsored awards again this year.
Absolutely.
Sweet.
We'll talk more about awards later. They're the community awards, which are voted by all of you, as far as what your favorite shows and individual categories are. And then if you are an incorporated organization, you may sponsor an award yourself. And that award can be of your choosing. There's information on the website as far as what you need to bring to the table for the award. It's like you need to bring a physical thing,
you need to bring some sort of logo to give them afterwards. You need to be an incorporated show. You need to name the award, and you need to describe what the qualifications of the award are and how you're going about judging the award. But yes, participants' awards will return. Yes?
Hi, my name is Graham Sibley, and I'm with the I Am a Theater Company, and we're going to do something called I Am a Fest.
Excellent.
Are there panels that are going on as well throughout the festival as well? And could a company sponsor a panel or host a panel or something like that?
Absolutely. There are panels that go on. It's just like anything else, like any other show. They join. You'll find a lot of very friendly venues, including us, in a lot of cases, that will host your panel for you, usually at no rent, just for the benefit of the world. We're very forgiving if you're doing something very for the community that's very open out. So email us what your idea of the panel is. If you find another venue, fantastic. Once we make our announcement as far as what our central venue would be, that might be a place that we'd be willing to hold a panel in one of our
and
spaces.
And that would be like at the lounge there?
If that turns out to be our home base this year, then that's what we're talking about. But it's we haven't yet to announce exactly where we're going to be during June. But yeah, definitely talk to us once that's been announced, or if you find a venue before, fantastic.
Okay,
yeah, so actually, yeah, communicate with us. We definitely encourage as many panels and workshops as possible.
Great.
Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Lauren. I'm writing a musical called Sinking. And I just wanted to know about Tech Week. Is it an actual Tech Week, or is it a Tech Day?
Right. Entirely dependent on your venue. So when you're booking your show with your venue, I think I would have gone through voice classes when I not lose my voice. When you're booking your show with your venue, ask them what their tech policy is. It varies wildly from venue to venue. I don't think you're going to get a week per se, but you probably will at the very least get a couple hours to come in and tech your show, depending on the venue and their policy. But you'll have to work around their schedule, whatever. But almost all venues give you some tech time. I'll put it that way. Anyone else? Yes?
Hi, my name is Joanna. I'm running a project called The Public Musical. My question is kind of similar to Greg's, actually. Can we change the ticketing so it's a different price per night, like per weekend one night versus a regular price of another night and another?
Absolutely. ticketing pricing is done on a performance-by-performance basis. And in each performance, you have those three ticketing types, regular, participant, and community. So yes, each performance has absolutely adjustable prices, which is why we say for a preview performance, it's strongly recommended to do pay what you can. Anyone else?
Can you clarify about the, because you said we didn't announce the central space, but we did talk about Open Fist. Can you just tell Open Fist is in comparison to the social space?
Sure. One of the ways that we're different from a lot of North American venues is, North American fringes, is that our venues are entirely independent, all except for one venue, which is run by the fringe organization. It's what you might say a market stabilizer type of venue. It's like the public option if you're into the whole healthcare thing. and that this year is the Open Fist Theater space, which we're calling Fringe Main Stage. Now there's another space that we've called Fringe Central every year. Last year we called it Fringe Central Station. And that is the hub, that's the community hub where the bar is, where a lot of the, for example, the awards happen, where we have sort of a coming together in a community every night. And within the next couple months, we should be announcing where that is. Last year it was there, it might be there again, who's to know? We'll have to wait for the announcement. Yes?
Thanks, Julius. I have a question about that Fringe Central Station.
Sure.
The awards offered like entertainment there.
Yes.
So let's say I know a musician, and he wants to be prevented. Is that also something he would have to register and do the whole, so it's not a show per se.
Sure. I think what you're referring to is something we call Fringe Cabaret.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a lot more about Fringe Cabaret in future town halls, but what the idea is there, it is that sort of, it's entertainment for the Fringe community. You don't need to be a registered show to be a part of Fringe Cabaret. You just need to be selected by our cabaret manager. So you do create a project, but you don't need to register that project. And then you'll be featured on the cabaret stage in the Fringe Central Station, or the Fringe Central, wherever that might be. And then every night, we have a big night usually on the Mondays and Tuesdays where it's like 3 hours of cabaret. And then every night we have about an hour of cabaret. It's sort of like a soapbox for artists to go up and do their thing, or to promote their show, or to show off their art and the whole thing. So yes, you do not need to be a registered participant to perform on the cabaret stage. Anyone else? Was I that clear? No questions at all. Going once? Going twice? All right, guys, remember to get your wristbands. This is when everyone starts talking, doesn't listen to me. Get your wristbands. Go across the way to three clubs where we'll have our mixer, and thank you all for coming.
Thank you guys for coming. Thank you.